and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that'll wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Okay, second hour here, and we're going to get into the Internal Revenue stuff. Shocking stuff, actually. And as I had given out prior to, if you're just tuning in here, there are some cases here that absolutely, positively, if you're involved with the Internal Revenue criminals, that's required. Required reading. And I'll be putting these out to my special list. It's 56 Florida Law Review, Revision 1. 56 Federal or Florida Law Review, Revision 1. It's January of 2004. A United States Tax Court case. It's 2004 also, and its site is 123 T period C period 85. And it's Robinette, R-O-B-I-N-E-T-T-E, versus the Commissioner of Internal Revenue. That's an important issue. And let me find the other one here is on the Cleveland Law Review. And I got to find the site on that. These three, I've got a wealth of information and the processes that these guys are using researched out. And back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Introduce introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Looks like this is a friend that sent me to. He was the guinea pig. Him and I worked together and been to the Supreme Court twice on the IRS to expose all these different things about officers of the United States. We've seen all the tricks. Been there twice with him. And he's a very sharp fellow. And anyway, he gave me this thing, and I got to reading it. Oh, my golly, and I have looked through this, and I am so familiar with the Internal Revenue stuff, and it's just, this is what I've been looking for, to delineate out more of the processes written up so I can take this and make it into a one line, and then people can read this. And this particular case is 58 Cleveland State Law Review, 603, and it's a 2010. So these documents are critical if you really want to get into understanding the IRS. And the thing that they don't go into, which I am extremely familiar with, is how to nail an agency down and crucify the suckers with the APA, but actually with the Federal Register Act first, and then the APA as round two. And none of them will pass, they don't even pass muster for the Federal Register Act. And step two, the APA, they don't pass muster for that. And by the way, the Federal Register stuff, 1 CFR 21.43, if there is a specific statutory grant, it must be behind the table of contents. Mandated. And the agency is responsible to put it there. I think that's 1 CFR 2141 or 40. They have no excuse. No, nothing. So anyway, getting into this particular issue here, I started reading down through it, and I said, boy, there's some, whoever wrote this up has spent a lot of time and is extremely familiar with the Internal Revenue Service. They just never step into the regulatory world because for some reason it's not understood the headless fourth branch of government. And it exists. FDR said so. If you can't believe Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that slime ball, who could you believe? The New Deal guy. First of all, we start off here, and we're going to, in the federal, in the Florida law review, it's embedded in the Cleveland one, but it's got some very important issues in here that most of us, of course, are not taught. How would we know? It says everything on these code sections are all Title 26 USC, so I won't bother. Section 602 authorizes the service to make inquiries, determinations, and assessment of all taxes. The language nicely summarizes the tax determination process, a process of inquiry and decision-making which culminates in assessment. Section 6203 defines the method of assessment and the recording of the liability of the taxpayer in the service's books of account. There's a mouthful. 6203 is the jugular. It must culminate in assessment, and there are no assessment regulations. They don't exist under the authority of 6203 that have the force and effect of law for Part 1, individual income. They don't exist. But it gets better. A properly recorded, I've talked about this before, and we're going to get to this, a properly recorded assessment is the functional equivalent of a judgment against the taxpayer. No one has explained why better than Justice Roberts in Bull versus United States. Now, that particular case, Bull versus United States, is found, B-U-L-L, at 295 U.S. 247. So let's stop and think about that. A properly recorded assessment is the equivalent of a judgment. Now, when you get into the administrative world, when there is an assessment, it then becomes the same as a judgment. Well, the question becomes then, Bull versus United States, has anybody ever used any of this? Can you name one party that's ever used this in a criminal trial? Well, actually, I can. Who did it? One guy. Anybody want to guess? Joe Bannister. In his, the only one, because I monitor a lot of these on Pacer, because when I was first researching out, you cannot beat these guys until we understand their game. We know we don't live in a constitutional republic, otherwise this stuff wouldn't be going on. But you go look and see what they do, and they will repeat. And I kept finding we're going to, in the jury instructions, is the standard that the jury is given to test the facts. So it's the law, in other words. This is the standard. There's got to be a legal duty. Well, there is no legal duty. But the question becomes, has anybody ever used the Bull case and that in their jury instructions? And the answer unequivocally is one guy. Now, Al Thomas, that was tied in with Bannister, was helping him with his tax and all that. Al Thomas got nailed to the cross and crucified. Bannister walked. Why would that be? Why would this happen for only one guy and nobody else? Now, this is a 2004 Bannister when he was prosecuted. This is, and it was Bernhoff and Dickstein were the attorneys. Why did they use that? Why didn't Snipes use this in his case, Wesley Snipes? Why don't these other attorneys do this? Why just one guy? Not only did they do this, which I'm going to show you, they even put in the jury instructions, which I'm going to read the final jury instructions, but first of all, I'm going to read the proposed jury instructions. And this is here. This is proposed jury instruction, docket 131, instruction number 7. The assessment of taxes is a very mechanical process. The law holds that the assessment shall be made by recording the liability of the taxpayer in the office of the secretary or his delegate in accordance with the rules and regulations prescribed by the secretary. By the way, those don't exist. The secretary's regulations provide that an assessment officer engages in the act of assessment by signing the summary of record of assessment. Until the assessment, as above mentioned, has been made, the function of collecting taxes cannot be pursued. What do they cite for their authority? Because when you put in proposed jury instructions, you must cite some statutory or legal authority. 26 U.S.C. 6203. That's the part that says there's got to be the liability is by regulations or rules prescribed by the secretary. They don't exist. 26 CFR 301-6203-1. 301 are for the federalities. That's their procedural nonsense. They have no force and effect of law. Nice information. Not required. And they cite Bull, B-U-L-L, versus United States, 275 U.S. 247, 1935 case. Has anybody ever seen this in a jury instruction? Yeah, Bannister. Joe Bannister. Why would he have that? He's tied in with the Freedom Law School that has a $300,000 reward, which I put into, and they won't talk to me. With Painmon. Joe Bannister's joined at the hip with those guys. At least he used to be. I presume he probably still is. I haven't researched it out. In his final jury instruction, which is a docket 150, Title 26, Section 6203 and CFR Section 301-6203-1 provide for the assessment of taxes. Here's the cite. I've never seen this, anything like this. First of all, they actually put a code section in the jury instructions. They denied that to Al Thompson. Why is that? Did they want Al Thompson? I think he was the one that was him and the guy that's deceased right now out of Texas, his name escapes me right now, were in the USA Today. I think it was We the People bought the ad or something. And what that did is put a bullet or a cross on both of them to take them down. The law holds that the assessment shall be made by recording the liability of the taxpayer in the office of the secretary or his delegate in accordance, that's it here, in accordance with the rules or regulations prescribed by the secretary. There aren't any. The secretary's regulations provide that an assessment officer engages in the act of assessment by signing the summary of the record of assessment. Until the assessment, as above mentioned, has been made, the function of collecting taxes cannot be pursued. Now, by the way, we just shoved that down the throat here. I gave that in a research document to somebody in the bankruptcy court. And the judge finally came out and said, "How do you do assessments?" Duh. How are assessments done? And you know what? I gotta do this recording because the the guy from the IRS there, another dolt. That there's just a bookkeeping entry. Really? You think that is in accord with what this is about? Of course not. Is he that stupid? We knew the judge is clueless. She admits it. And then when you understand the Kornick versus United Forces Thompson case, where the Stanford Law Review and their amicus curiae comes out and said these attorneys on that are getting out of law school, basically they don't know baloney. And the bar exam doesn't mean they're qualified either. Well, there's a lovely thought. You want to hire an attorney for something criminal? Back in a minute. We're going to get into more of this with the internal.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Rick here. And, so again, my first question is, why does one person, an ex-IRS guy, get to use not only information that I've never seen, and Burnoff is no idiot, neither is Dickstein. Why does he get to use this in his jury instructions along with the code section? And I've never seen it, and I've looked at a lot of them. I take my word for it. Never seen before. Why is that? Can't prove it. My first thing that comes in is beware of Joe Bannister. He is not what he seems. You make your own assessment. So the next thing we have to go down, and this is in this, just some of the highlights. It says the assessment is given the force of a judgment. So once there's an assessment, it's given the force of a judgment. The goal of the services tax determination process, therefore, is to create an assessment. The most common path is to rely upon the taxpayer's return. Voluntary compliance is the primary method by which the service fulfills its duty to make the determinations and assessments of a tax. The service accepts the returns as filed and assesses the tax liabilities as shown on the returns. The service generally has 3 years in which to review and correct returns for errors resulting from both honest mistakes and attempts to game the system. And that's, by the way, is 6501. They got 3 years. The service sometimes even more time if the taxpayer fails to file a return or files a fraudulent return for the limitation of assessment, then it's unlimited. Now, the thing that gets into this thing is they cannot send you, by the way, a notice and demand for payment. That's 6303, a notice and demand. They cannot send you a notice and demand under 6303 until it says internally the assessment process of 6203 has been complied with. 6203 says the liability is done by regulations prescribed by the secretary. They got to be published in the Federal Register. And the Administrative Committee was mandated under the Federal Register Act to implement and put into effect the Federal Register or the Federal Register Act. And they're the one CFRs. And the one CFR 21.43 says if it's going to have a statutory authority, it must be behind the table of contents, and it must show it. Now do it. All game over, just like that. It's amazing, isn't it? They go on to say here in this federal law review, or this Florida, it says here, a notice of deficiency carries the same weight and enjoys the same judicial deference as an assessment. Courts recognize it as an expression of the service's judgment on the proper tax. By the way, there's all kinds of annotations in this. The service may make an institutional determination of tax, whether expressed by an immediate assessment or expressed by a notice of deficiency, at one or both of two levels, the examination level or the appeals level. So, it gets really interesting here. And it goes on farther. It says, because of its status of a judgment, a properly recorded assessment is a critical procedural prerequisite for the administrative collection of a taxpayer's liabilities. Only once the assessment is on the books may the service proceed to collect the liability through the use of lien, levy, or set-off. Isn't that amazing? Are we told all this stuff? Is this all lined out in their stuff? No, of course not. They don't want to do this. And what they talk about in here also is the inquisitorial process. Inquisitions. You are guilty until proven innocent. They want you to show up and answer all the questions, and you don't have any authority to ask them why, who they are, or whatever. Does that sound familiar? Anybody ever been in front of the Internal Revenue Service? Come on down for summons and books in the court. And they say, oh, go over to the IRS office, and you go in there. We don't answer questions. It's an inquisitorial process. You're guilty until proven innocent. And you try to get something in, and they don't want to go there. Then they've done that one. A whole bunch. So this also goes into a great... goes into the summons for books and all that. And by the way, those summonses are all void because they never did redelegate the power. The commissioner is the only one that can sign it. But anyway, this article here then continues on with a lot of other stuff that goes into the history from the Civil War forward. And that is an important thing if you want to understand how we got to where we are. With part of it, whoops, golly, what do you mean? We're already there? Whoa, back in a minute.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Okay, well, for this last 25 minutes we got here, we're going to talk about what's in this Cleveland State Law Review. Shocking material. And I haven't gotten through all of it yet because there's a lot to this here. This one here is 46 pages. It says, when the tax court hears collection due process appeals, it acts as an appellate court reviewing agency action to determine its propriety, an entirely different role and process from deficiency cases. The district courts turn to the Administrative Procedures Act and traditional administrative law jurisprudence to fill in the gaps Congress left in the enabling legislation. You see, Congress said, oh, by the way, you all can go over to that tax court, but you know what? We're not going to put in the standard of review because if we did that, we wouldn't have the game. So we're going to leave that little part out. And it goes further. The tax court did not. As a result, the two courts applied two different review standards and different rules regarding evidence the court would consider during the appeal. So you go to one court, get a different thing from the other, but it gets better. So the two courts conducted the appeals in significantly different ways that affected taxpayers' rights. They always use that word, taxpayers' rights. So they always want to put you into the world of taxpayer. Although the tax court now has sole jurisdiction over collection due process, its position remains problematic. In the absence of legislation specifying how a court is to review agency action, the EPA, that's the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946, which is codified today in 5 U.S.C. chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, The APA and the traditional administrative law jurisprudence step into the breach and provide structure for the court's review. As a result, the participants in this process are assured of consistency and predictability regarding the reviewing process, thus rendering the process fairer. The tax court thwarts these expectations when it creates its own rules of procedure and evidence when acting as a reviewing court. Commentators have argued that the tax court should fill in the gaps in the statutory authority for collection due process appeals by turning to traditional administrative law jurisprudence, including the APA, which suggestion the tax court has resisted despite the fact that the federal district court did. The majority of the tax court insists that it has never been subject to the administrative law jurisprudence or the Administrative Procedures Act, nor could it be. Is that a mouthful? The whole regulatory system is sitting in the Federal Register and the APA and the administrative law jurisprudence. And they're saying, no, we're not doing that. This is why when you go to tax court, and the one that I have seen initially, there must be a stipulation of facts. They don't want to hear evidence. They want to stipulate the facts and go in there and clean your clock. So when you stand your ground and say, I'm not stipulating that, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing this, they don't want to go there. They don't want to hear the APA. They don't want to hear the administrative law jurisprudence. The majority of the tax court insists that it was never subject to the administrative law jurisprudence, the APA, nor could it be. The history of the tax court, how it began as a division of the Internal Revenue Service, became an independent agency, and then finally evolved into an Article I court. Well, unless I'm smart enough to know when I go in there, I'm going to get my clock cleaned. Because what's the standard of review? So then they go on. The United States Constitution, it should be Constitution of the United States or Federal Constitution, empowers Congress to impose and collect taxes. Although Congress continues to be the authority that imposes taxes, the IRS actually has the authority to assess and collects taxes. Generally, the Internal Revenue Service cannot commence collection proceedings until the tax has been assessed. Assessment is the recording of the taxpayer's liability in the office of the secretary. This is 6203. The Internal Revenue Service is permitted to assess a tax after a taxpayer has filed a tax return showing a tax is owed, or after the tax court has found the taxpayer is liable for a deficiency of income, estate, gift, or certain excise taxes. The assessment is the fundamental equivalent of a judgment against a taxpayer. That's why the assessment is the jugular. This is why in bankruptcy court, when they're supposed to file in a proof of claim, they can't prove their claim. In the case I've been involved with here doing research, they've come out and said their federal notices of federal tax lien are invalid. Although the tax court determines the taxpayer's liability in a deficiency hearing, the tax court hears no evidence. Whoa! Although the tax court determines the taxpayer's liability in a deficiency hearing, the tax court hears no evidence, makes no findings as to the manner in which the Internal Revenue Service will collect the tax if it is found to be owed. Is that a mouthful? We're not going to allow evidence. This is the same thing as these collection due process hearings. They're a waste of time. That's their delaying tactic. Other than that, been there, done that. Well, my friend, by the way, what evidence can we enter? We don't take evidence. What evidence do you have? It's in this folder. Can we see it? No, we can't see what you got, and you won't take what we got. It's first level appeal from nonsense. So, I can get into this case here, so I have a little bit of time left on that. This case, that one of the cases they're referencing, is this 123 Tax Court TC85, Robinette versus the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, 2004. And by the way, I see that Jack Cohen was involved in a case. He used to be part of the Dan Metter group. He lives up in Washington or someplace up in there. He got tangled up with these guys on this type of an issue. So we get on down here, and in this case, and I don't know what page it is here, I haven't marked that up yet, but here's what it says. This is number two, the court's specific statutory review provisions. The APA, which is the Administrative Procedures Act, which, by the way, the agencies were getting out of control. They were usurping the executive and congressional or legislative powers of Congress back in the 30s when Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his New Deal, so they tried to get around and control them. And I forget the act right now. It slips my mind. But in 1940, they vetoed one. And in 1946, they came out. And the issue was for subsidy rigs and that no statute would have any effect until the regulations were promulgated. Most people can't believe that. That's right in the congressional record. Here's what it says. The APA has never governed proceedings in the tax court. And they cite Ewing versus Commissioner, 122 TC at 50. It is well established the tax court, rather than being a reviewing court within the meaning of Section 10E of the APA, reviewing the record, is a court in which the facts are triable de novo. The facts. And they cite Dreyer O'Dreyer versus Commissioner, that's at 266. F2D 575. 266 F2D 575. And another case. Amazing, huh? The tax court is not subject to the Administrative Procedures Act. Isn't that amazing? Well, how did they get exempted? Well, what's your standard of review? We're going to look at the facts. What facts? How can you have a fact if you have no legal duty, no law? You got to have something that says I did or did not a standard of review. So if you file in a standard of review, and if you file in, we're going to come under the constitutional provisions of due process and that, and we're also going to bring in, by the way, the APA, the statutory authority in the Federal Register Act, and you don't agree to their stipulations, I say they be going to have major, major heartburn. The tax court is not subject to the Administrative Procedures Act. It did. Which is the Dreyer case. And they give another case here, 58 TC 282. This is 1972 case. We reason, this is NAPPI versus the commissioner, 58 TC 282. We reason that the APA provisions apply to an agency of the government of the United States, but specifically exclude the courts of the United States. The tax court is established as a court of record under Article 1 of the Constitution of the United States. Being a court of the United States, it is excluded from the provisions of the APA. Well, that's fine. It may not control you because you started off as an executive court. Now you've got your clothes supposedly as an Article 1, still legislative court. But if we bring in the standard of review, you guys are toast. The court's de novo procedure for reviewing IRS functions were well established and recognized by law at the time of the APA's enactment. What did they just say there? Recognized by law. You think we got something going on there? Let me pull that up here real quick. What does by law mean? Anybody have a clue? You see, they use these code words, and pretty soon it's like Morse code. When you see these things, you start to understand what's going on. And I'm going to pull up the 1946 here. I'll get to it in just a minute. And we will read about the Attorney General's thing of by law that is still used today. Attorney General's Manual of 1947, still used. It's in Lubbock's and that. So what did they do? I'm reading from the Attorney General's manual. The original draft of Section 9A limited the imposition of sanctions to those as specified and authorized by statute. I like that. Senate Comparative Print, 1945, June. The change of the word statute to law was intentional so that to recognize that an agency may impose a sanction or issue a subsidy rule or order if such power is authorized not only by statutes, but by treaties, court decisions, oh, here's a nice one, commonly recognized administrative practices, or other law. Or other law. Where is that? Commonly recognized administrative practices. Now, there gives me that warm, fuzzy feeling, hoo-ha. You see how these guys talk? This is the game they're playing with us. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And then they go on here and talk about the suit. It says here, if the taxpayer disputes that he is liable for an assessed tax, he nonetheless must first pay the tax and then file administrative claim with the IRS. However, this suit will address only the existence and the amount of the taxpayer's liability. The suit will not address any methods the IRS may have employed to collect the tax. Well, they can't collect the tax until there's an assessment. You can't do an assessment until there's regulation. You can't do a notice and demand until there's an assessment. Oh, but we don't want to talk about that. There is a way through this. There is a way through this to hold these guys accountable. But, of course, it's not going to be an easy walk. It's absolutely astounding. How can you go to a tax court? It says the tax court isn't bound by it. Okay, I'll agree. The tax court isn't bound by it. But guess what? There is a statutory law that all of the stuff from the IRS must abide by the APA. And it's easily proven because they republished all of the... You can find it in Volume 1, which I give out in my tax... $250 package, or you can go to the law library. It's easy to find. There's 13 volumes for Part 1, Income Taxes. Right in the very front of it, it will quote a Federal Register out of 1954. They leave off the fourth paragraph. The fourth paragraph says, we are not doing the APA, no way, Jose. So in 1960, they republished all of the regulations for Part 1. In November. And then very quietly, in December, they said, oh, by the way, you know those regulations? The authority goes back to 1954 Federal Register. So you go back and read that, and it says, we're not doing it. That's how it's done. Would the average guy figure this out? No, not a chance. Too much. Only because I've been doing this so long. And you finally, it's like Morse code. Once you learn the Morse code or most of the dots and the dashes, you can start to read and understand and see the buzzwords. They're terms. Just like the use of by law instead of by statute. Never use by law. Use statutes of the United States. They cannot go there. It's like a silver bullet to Dracula. They cannot go there. If you do not put in for a standard of review, as the Administrative Procedures Act and the Federal Register, they're going to walk around you and you're going to go in there. They're going to have a stipulation of facts. And if you don't object to all of those, you're going to get your clock cleaned. They don't tell us any of this stuff. Do the attorneys even know this? Probably most of them do not. But how did Bernhoff, which was involved with Wesley Snipes and Dick Stein, know in 2004 about putting in the code sections, about assessment before you can do collections? How did they get the code section involved in the jury instruction? Why is it not in everybody's? Do we want to get people convicted? Of course. People say there is no law for the IRS. There is a mandate for it. It does not exist. Agencies, I've said it more than once, agencies live in the Federal Register. Congress lives in what we call statutes of the United States, but in reality, if you go look at them, and I've got the official publications, which there aren't many out there, of the 1948 stuff, they are the laws of Congress, not the laws of the United States. Back in a minute, we'll close up.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
And, got to prove here now, because it's in 5 U.S.C. 706, arbitrary and capricious. And that is the waiver of sovereign immunity. I just haven't gotten to it yet because I got my driver's license thing here to get done by Thursday and filed. Because I'm going to break their back on the driver's license. I'm going to give it a good three-day shot. And we're going to see what they want. They kicked the other one back because it's too hot to handle, and they want facts. Well, you're talking to the right guy, Bubba. I deal in facts. Provable facts. Your stuff. You all wrote it. The Bible according to the evil bastards of the world. I'll shove it right down your throat. But anyway, I've got to look. As soon as I get through with that, I've got quite a few other things on my plate here, but I want to look into the waiver of sovereign immunity, because if they have excluded the waiver of sovereign immunity, arbitrary and capricious, to where you cannot look at the statutory authority, the actual assessment, and you only look at the facts after in the collection process, then we have a legitimate, provable, conclusively, that their agencies are under what I use the word imperium. Imperium is absolute power. Because if you have no means at all, which is what I've been doing in a few cases, providing research, is questioning, you cannot have an assessment. You can't have a notice of lien where you did an assessment if there's no regulation to do the assessment. You can't have a notice of demand if you had no assessment. And they do not want to go there. The Vernon's was the first case where that information was at the beginning. And what the Department of Justice did is did a total lockdown. No discovery, no documents, no interrogatories, no admissions, and you can't depose it. Well, let's go to the old Star Chamber, which is what they're doing to me up here on the driver's license issue. We have a return in Juneau, and by the way, you can't see it. But we're going to call you up on the phone. Oh, bet you. I'm just going to step across and talk to some blithering employee down in Juneau and try to defend against something I haven't even seen. And why would I be involved in an inquisitorial process? Ours is supposed to be adversarial. If I wanted to go inquisitorial, hell, I'd move to Spain. They have an inquisitorial system. Most countries in the world have an inquisitorial. Ours is there. They give the appearance of adversarial, but it's inquisitorial. And that's in this Cleveland Law Review. It's an inquisitorial thing. Anybody that's ever gone in to meet with the IRS, we're not here to answer questions. You answer our questions. We don't have to show authority. We don't have to tell you who we are other than our names. Here's my little number. Hoo-ha. And that's it. It's inquisitorial. That's why I never talk to cops. Never give them any information. Doesn't mean whether I'm guilty or innocent or whatever. It's just an irrelevant issue. You want to talk about the weather? Great. That's what got Trooper Cook PO'd at me. And he, I'll show that winter road boy. I'll just come out there and arrest you. And they showed up with three troopers. We got all kinds of people with DUIs running around this state. All kinds of criminal, real criminal elements. Do they ever come to their place and track them down? Nope. They just let them run. When you start to threaten a criminal, treasonous government, they get really, really ornery. And by the way, before I forget it, March 3rd, Dr. Judy Wood is going to be on George Norrie's Coast to Coast for 3 hours. And the book is Where Did the Towers Go.com is to go get the book, the only forensic investigation, comprehensive and forensic investigation in existence. And Gage is going to be on May 8th, next Sunday, the second hour. So as I always say, I hope you learned something, and watch out for the federal alleys. They're everywhere. Stay safe, and we'll see you
gold. Next time.